We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
He is in Alabama at the Senior Bowl, sitting in the radio row with Dustin. It's Albert Breer. And by the way, we're going to have John Dorsey on with us tomorrow on the show. Albert, I know you just spoke with John Dorsey in the last hour or so, and enlightened you with any interesting tidbits?
Yeah, I mean, we talked a bunch about, like, and the whole idea of the story, and it'll be up on the website tomorrow if anybody wants to take a look at it, but it was just, you know, a guy who's had the first overall pick twice and what advice he would give the Arizona Cardinals right now, who are obviously getting into it. And, you know, it's interesting because I asked him, like, you know, the difference between the two and taking Eric Fisher first overall in 2013 in Kansas City and then Baker Mayfield last year. And, you know, he said he wouldn't tell me when the decision was made on Eric, but he said it was much closer to the draft. And so then I asked when they made the decision on Baker, and he said on the record, he said he knew in October. He knew in October that Baker Mayfield was going to be the best player in the next year's draft, which is interesting to me because I don't think there were a ton of people who saw him that way at that point. You know, like, he was still, like, I think a lot of people still looked at him, like, with curiosity, like, is this guy a product of the Oklahoma system and the air raid? And is he too short? Like, all those questions are still there. And, I mean, I just thought it was interesting because Dorsey had so much conviction on the guy. And obviously, we see now that conviction was pretty well founded.
October. So when was that? Was he at an Oklahoma game?
Yeah. Well, you know, like last year, and I remember talking to him about this last year when we were here.
Yeah.
And obviously, at that point, now we know that he knew then. But, like, I remember talking to him about what he'd done and how he'd constructed his board. And, you know, he basically set up like a one-man scouting operation in his house. And this was after, I think he got fired by Kansas City in June. And so he basically set up a one-man scouting operation in his house and was doing all of the work that he'd normally do. You know, he had the whole setup in Kansas City there. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I don't know if he did a detailed board, but, you know, he basically went through the process like he had for his entire career. And so that was sort of where, you know, he got to know Baker. And he didn't know at that point that he's going to wind up having the number one overall pick. It was just a matter of who's the best player. And, you know, he thought then that Baker Mayfield was the best player.
We're talking with Albert Breer, MMQB. Albert, the Browns are in a position this year that they haven't been in for a long time. They have never – I mean, they certainly haven't had the amount of talent they have now in at least a decade or probably even longer. So they're – you know, they've been in the position of accumulating picks, and now they have 11 picks in this draft.
Yep.
And I feel like John Dorsey, knowing his aggressiveness, knowing the fact that they have 11 picks, they don't have as many holes as they've had in past years, and probably don't want to have 11 rookies again this year. I wouldn't be surprised if he were aggressive, and if there was a guy he loved at 8 or 10 or 12, if he got aggressive and traded up, do you think that holds water?
Nah, I mean, everyone looks at the draft a different way, right? Like, so the assessments in the Browns building are going to be different than the assessments in the Steelers building, which are going to be different than the assessments in the Chargers building, and on and on and on, right? So you take that into account. I can just tell you what I've heard and the consensus that I've heard on this year's draft, which is basically the quarterbacks are wild cards, right? And so that means I think Dwayne Haskins probably is the first one off the board. Drew Lock, I think I told you guys this yesterday. I just get the sense that NFL people think way higher of him than maybe the general public does. Like, they think he's a player. There's Daniel Jones.
Daniel Jones is going to get overdrafted.
Daniel Jones from Duke, yep. And then of course, Kyler Murray. So you've got, like, the quarterbacks as the wild cards, right? And then my sense of it is that there are two super elite players. One's Nick Bosa. The other one's Quinnen Williams from Alabama. And then after that, part of the issue for the team like the Browns, well, this is a good thing for the Browns, actually, based on where they're picking, right, is there's not a huge difference. This is consensus. So, you know, they could have a different opinion, and that different opinion could cause them to move where other teams wouldn't. But the consensus I'm getting right now is there's not a huge difference between the 5th pick and the 15th pick. And there's not a big difference between the 15th pick and the 25th pick. And there's a ton of good defensive linemen throughout the first round. Then the second and third round, you can find good offensive linemen. And so it's like one of those drafts where I don't know if you're not picking in the top two or three, like I don't know that you're going to come away with like, you know, a transformative player. But it feels to me like it's the type of draft where you could walk away with three or four like long-term starters, if that makes sense.
So if you're the Browns, how do you approach this draft? I mean, you're picking in the middle of the first round. You've got a first-round pick. You've got a second-round pick. You've got two third-round picks with the Danny Shelton trade, of course.
Yep.
Gives you a third-round pick. And, you know, we're talking about – listen, they could literally draft any position, basically outside a quarterback.
Yeah.
And they could upgrade their roster. So if it is that the level of talent drops off, let's say after 12 or 15 or whatever it is, are you considering a trade-up? And using some of those assets because they've got so many young players on their team.
Maybe. I mean, I think they're in a really good spot in this regard. And we said that, like, I remember saying this to you guys last summer.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was to you guys where we were talking about the roster. And for an 0-16 team, they seem to not really have many holes. You know, like, there weren't really.
Just a head coach.
There wasn't really, like, many position groups where you say, God, they're really in trouble there, right?
Yeah.
And that was before we knew Josh Gordon wasn't going to be on the team and the rest of it. But that's sort of the way I think we looked at it. And that gives them – I mean, I think that puts them in a position of strength going into the draft this year where I don't – do you guys look at any position on the roster where they have to force it?
No, not at all.
I don't think so.
Not at all.
I mean, like, left tackle, I know you're a little uncertain going forward, but that kid's got talent, the kid who played there, Harrison.
And they like Greg Robinson.
And – so
at left tackle, he played well at the end of the season.
Right, so like you've got some, like I don't know that there's a spot on that roster where you're saying, God, they need to do something, you know?
Sure.
And so I think that allows them to sort of go and get the players that are the best players, and it's cliche, right? But like just go and take the best player when they're picking. It's simple, but like a lot of teams don't have that freedom because they do have to press needs.
Now, to your point, Albert. Like, you know they're not going to take a quarterback in the first round. You know they're not going to take a running back in the first round. But any other position, you could see them – like, in the past, we've known the Browns are either going to take a quarterback or maybe one – now it's like they could take a defensive lineman, they could take a linebacker, they could take a corner, a safety, an offensive lineman, a wide receiver, maybe a tight end, probably not likely, but maybe. Anything but quarterback and running back is fair game for the Browns right now.
Right, and that's – and, you know, again, like, it's just – it's not like there's – I mean, look, the strength of this draft, I'm sure you guys have heard it plenty now, like, the defensive line is the strength of this draft. There could be 20 defensive linemen in the first round.
Wow.
And it's going to be – it's one of the best defensive line – I mean, 20 – I'm not exaggerating. That number could wind up being 20. And so, like, do you – like, last year you looked at the idea of getting somebody to pair with Myles Garrett and Bradley Chubb. You're probably not getting Bradley Chubb, but you might get a really good edge player to play opposite Myles Garrett to take some of the pressure off, getting that rotation with Ogba. You know, it's just I think that the idea that you can start stacking positions and you can start taking positions from being taken care of to becoming legitimate strengths is a great place for them to be, especially when you consider how young they are in so many of these spots.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. I just, you know, Adam thinks that they should add a pass rusher to go along with Garrett, which I can agree with, too. You know, talking to some people here last night in Mobile, it sounds like defensively they want to be a lot more aggressive, play a lot more press man coverage. I could see them adding a corner.
Yeah.
You know, and again, like, who's the best corner in the draft? Is that someone you target?
And that's the thing is, like, it's, you know, okay. So, and where are they picking? I don't even have the number off the top of my head.
17.
15?
17.
17. Okay, 17. Yeah. Okay, so they're picking 17th. Like, say Greedy Williams from LSU falls to you.
Sure.
Or DeAndre Baker from Georgia falls to you. Okay, now all of a sudden it's like, well, we wanted a pass rusher, but there's a really good corner that's falling into our lap because maybe there was a run on defensive lineman before you're picking. That's, like I said, like the good thing about this year's class is that, like, I just do not think that there's a big drop-off from 7 to 17. Like, I think you're going to be getting a similar player to, you know, like the Browns will get a similar player to what's available in the bottom of the top 10. And that's a good spot to be in.
Yeah.
We're talking with Albert Breer, MMQB. Albert, you mentioned the quarterbacks before, you mentioned Kyler Murray. And here's my thought. I wonder, like, you know, some people think he's going to be a first-round pick. I don't know. But here's my question. Let's say he doesn't get drafted in the first round. Once you get, let's say the second round starts and Kyler Murray's still on the board. Are teams going to worry that, well, I can't take him in the second round because if I draft him here in the second round, maybe he's going to go back to baseball? Like, are teams going to be worried that the kind of the lower he goes, the more likely he is to now maybe go back to baseball? How big is that concern is that?
I think that's a factor. I think a big part of the process, though, Adam, is going to be, like, teams trying to vet that out and trying to figure out what his plan is. And can you take him in the second round if you don't have a guarantee that he's going to play football, mm-hmm. right? Like, I think teams are going to try to figure out, like, okay, like, what's the breaking point? Like, where is it, like, screw it, I'm going and playing baseball? Like, where is that right. breaking point, you know? And if there's uncertainty, that could cause him to drop. Like, if he doesn't answer that question or that question remains a mystery, there are going to be teams that are going to say, screw it, we're not taking him, you know, because mm-hmm. that could be – I mean, you could be burning a second-round pick on nothing,
right?
Right. So yeah. that part of it, I think, is that's what's so interesting. I mean, like, I can't think of a real precedent for this, you know?
Right.
And so, I mean, we've got milepost coming up. I believe February 18th is when the A's position players report to spring training, so that's a natural one. The combine's right after that. That's another natural checkpoint in all of this. I'll tell you this. Kid played his cards right. But that kid, like – like, look, he had no collateral as a football prospect, as an NFL prospect over the summer. He gets a $5 million signing bonus, and he basically gets the A's to sign off on him having a chance to build that football collateral. And now he's playing the football collateral that he has against baseball.
Yeah.
Listen, I don't think anybody expected him to have this much success as a first-year starter at Oklahoma
right.
to win a Heisman Trophy, to go to the playoff, and basically outdo what Baker Mayfield did, right, as the previous season, the number one overall pick, and he does that. And so I think plans have sort of changed.
Yeah, well, and here's the other part. I think he likes football more.
I think he's passionate about football.
I think he likes football more. I mean, this isn't firsthand. I've never talked to Kyler Murray. I don't know Kyler Murray. What I can tell you is that the scouts that I know who've gone through there that know that school inside and out will tell you the kid loves playing football and specifically loves playing quarterback.
Sure.
Like, I think that's an important piece of this, too. He specifically loves playing quarterback. And so I think that if it's close, I think there's a very good chance he says I would rather play football. And maybe part of that's being, a Texas high school football legend. You know, like there's something to that and the way kids there grow up and all of that. But I do think that his passion for football is such – At least as I've heard it, like his passion for football is such where if it's close, I think there's a pretty good chance he plays football.
And Dustin made a good point on this last week, Albert, in the fact that if he plays football, and let's say it just doesn't work out for him, in 3 years he's what, 24, 25? He could go play baseball. That's when baseball careers are just getting started. If he goes to play baseball right. and flops,
I mean, hell, Tim Tebow's on the 40-man roster.
Well,
the Mets, right?
I mean, that's a joke. He's but this kid's a legitimate baseball prospect. But you're right, but he can't play baseball for the next 3-4 years and then go to football. I mean, he could, but it's much less likely to pan out that way mm-hmm. than the reverse. Baseball is going second has more of a chance to succeed if football fails than the reverse.
I think I'd agree with that. I mean, me and Dustin talked last night about Drew Henson, and I think that there is something to the idea that walking away from football, it's sort of hard to get back into it, and I don't know what that is, but...
Especially as a quarterback.
Quarterback is hard, yeah, because it's just it's timing, it's rhythm, it's there's so much that goes into it. In another position, it might be easier, but... And we've seen guys come from other... I mean, Antonio Gates, obviously, is a great example of it. I think with a quarterback, it'd be... I think you're right. It'd probably be hard... After taking, like, if you had, like, a 3 or 4 year layoff, I think it would probably be hard to come back to football.
Albert, talk about the negative effects, if any, for the teams, the lack of availability because they practiced inside today at the Senior Bowl. Big deal at all or no?
I don't think so. I mean, look, ideally you'd have everybody out there. They all get the tape. I think for the teams, they were each able to assign two people to go. And so I think they get themselves covered there. Those guys are probably, if we're being honest about it, those guys are probably a little more focused than they would be otherwise because everybody's counting on them to get the information they need to get out of the session. And, I mean, look, this is a piece of the process. This isn't, you know, I mean, this isn't like 50% of their evaluation. You know, this is a small piece of the process. And so I don't think it's a huge deal. It's a bigger deal for us, I think, because we all came here to see that. And unfortunately, none of us got to go out there.
Let me ask you this question, Albert. We talked about this in our Pulse segment earlier. You know, there's a player here from Western Illinois who was invited to the Senior Bowl.
The backflip guy?
I think it's the same guy, yeah. But he is here participating. It's hard to get an invite from Western Illinois, not a Division I program. It's an FCS program. And he missed the birth of his child to come to the Senior Bowl. I said it's not that big a deal because he's actually doing something for his child by trying to put together a hell of a rundown here at the Senior Bowl. And I was talking with Adam about this. I'm like, coming to the Senior Bowl from Western Illinois could be the difference in getting drafted and not getting drafted.
Yeah, I mean, I think he's definitely getting drafted. But, yeah, it can be a difference on where he goes, in rounds where he goes. Yeah, I absolutely think that, because especially for a guy coming out of a school like that where the first thing they're going to ask you is, like, well, how would you do against better competition? And this is a chance to put that on tape.
Yeah.
You know, it's not NFL competition, but it's a lot closer to NFL competition than what, you know, he saw at Western Illinois. So I agree with that. I think this is a more important week for mid-major and small school kids than anyone else who comes to these things. I think it was the case with Carson Wentz, you know, 3 years ago when he was here. I certainly think it's the case with somebody like Kalen Saunders.
Oh, the same thing happened. You know, Adam, we drafted Larry Ogunjobi from Charlotte, which is a program that just got football.
Right.
And he comes here and tears it up, and then we end up taking him in the third round.
He's a really good player.
He's a really good player. If he wasn't injured this year, maybe he's in the Pro Bowl. But, yeah, I mean, I think this week specifically, this game, not the Shrine, not the other games.
Right.
This game is so big because everybody's here. It is very, very valuable, especially for a kid from a small school.
Right, right. I mean, just having the opportunity, hey, look, you know, if you're a defensive lineman like he is, maybe you get to go up against an offensive lineman from Ohio State or Michigan or Texas or Oklahoma or Florida. And that's one way or the other going to give everyone who's evaluating you some window into what you're going to look like against better competition. Because if you're good enough to get invited here from a school like that, chances are your tape's probably incredible, like really, really good. And so, you know, what they're going to want to see is how it translates, and this is a place to do it.
We're talking to Albert Breer, MMQB. Albert, did John Dorsey talk to you more when you spoke to him today about the hiring of Freddie Kitchens? Any new information on that?
We didn't talk a ton about that. I did talk with Freddie about that. What was it, Friday, I think? So, we didn't really talk a whole lot about the hiring of Freddie Kitchens. I will say this. I think just from a personality standpoint and beyond the job he did on the field, from a personality standpoint, what the Browns are looking for, and I think a lot of what Baker gives them as a player, I think Freddie's bringing that to the table as a coach, you know? And so I think that there's certain narratives that you got to break in that organization. There's a certain negativity I think you've got to break that hovers around that building. And I think Baker and Freddie both have the sort of, it's just like the way they carry themselves, the way they interact with people, the way they lead. Like, I think both those guys have in spades what the Browns need, you know, like that intangible thing that the Browns need.
Do you think it could go south?
Not impossible. I don't know.
You know what I mean? Like, I'm just saying, like their personalities are so brash. They're so,
they could wind up clashing is what you're saying.
I don't know. I'm asking. Yeah. I mean, because everything's been so positive with these guys. Everyone just thinks that, oh, they're on the same page. They're very similar in the way they think, their personalities.
Things, yeah, I mean, we've seen like that before. So, I mean, it's hard for me to predict what's going to happen a year, 2 years, 3 years down the line.
Sure.
I mean, look, I told you guys 4 years ago that I thought, like, it was great that the Browns were going with two young guys that could kind of grow together, and Mike Pettine and Ray Farmer, and what happened there. You know what I mean? Like, so I think it's really, really unpredictable until you see guys in the roles they're going to be serving in working with each other. Mm-hmm. And Freddie has been Baker's position coach. He's been his coordinator. Now, Freddie told me flat out, like, he's very comfortable in who he is, and he's not going to change. But it's a different job. You know, it's a bigger job. There's more to it, and so, you know, I think you have a better idea that it's going to work than you would than you normally would just because you hired him from within the building. But, yeah, I mean, there's still parts of this that are a projection, you know. They didn't really hit. I mean, did they really slump at any point with Baker? Like, did they go in an extended period where Baker wasn't
not
playing
when Fred,
well?
Not when Freddie was coaching.
I mean, like, no, right? So that part of it, I think, you know, I think it's going to work. It seems like they're a great match for one another. But I totally understand what you're saying, Dustin, where it's like two type A's, right? Like, yep. Two alphas. Sometimes there can be issues there.
Albert, when it comes to the NFL draft earlier, you talked about the quarterbacks that could go in the first round. I'm curious, do you see a team that could be a surprise team to draft a quarterback in the first round? Maybe a team that's had a quarterback for a while, like Oakland or something, or you know, I don't know.
Cincinnati?
Yeah, I should have thought of that. Yeah, I mean.
Cincinnati? Yeah. I mean, I think Cincinnati could be in play. The Dolphins, I don't think, would be a surprise, right? Like,
no, probably not. Right,
and the Jaguars wouldn't be a surprise, and the Broncos wouldn't be a surprise, and the Giants wouldn't be a surprise. I mean, I think, you know, what you want to look at is some of the older quarterbacks, right? So that's the Steelers. That's the Patriots. I mean, potentially
Saints.
The Chargers. Saints, right? Yeah. How about the Packers?
Wow.
Aaron Rodgers right now is older than Brett Favre was when they drafted Aaron. So, and Aaron hasn't ruminated about retirement the same way Brett was on a year-to-year basis, but, I mean, that pick in 2005 was about Ted Thompson having conviction on Aaron Rodgers and saying this guy's too good to pass up. And he was right, you know, that worked out great. And so I think you're certainly with Aaron Rodgers at the point in his career where you say, if there's a great one, we really have to talk about it. He's not 29 anymore, right? Like, so that would be one where it'd be like, if there's a really, really good player there, then maybe we talk about it, especially because they have two first-round picks this year.
Yeah. Albert, thanks for giving us so much time. As always, we appreciate it. Thanks,
man. Absolutely.
The great Albert Breer, MMQB.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.